We're here doing a pre-record at Liberty Hall, backstage. So a little bit of a glimpse behind the scenes. Showbiz.
In this very changing room, the Spice Girls played their first ever gig in Dublin when they supported none other than...
Nirvana. I need some love like I never needed love before.
God makes love to you, baby.
Kurt Cobain's like, what? What's going on?
Oh, he said the Space Girls. Not the Spice Girls.
Anyway, see you later, folks.
Yeah, we've got a Leinster heavy show tonight. We've got Fergus McFadden.
Got Dan Levy.
And we've got Megan Williams. We'll see you all later.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby. Together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, live from Liberty Hall. Also on Joe, together with Guinness. How's the Guinness? Good Guinness?
Good Guinness.
Good Guinness. I'm Barry Murphy. This is the one and only Andrew Trimble.
Would it be more popular if I arrived in an Ulster jersey? Yeah. Did this add to the drab tone in the room? Just in jest. I came up with the idea. I said, Baz, listen, I've got a great idea. You're going to wear a Celtic jersey. I'm going to wear a Rangers jersey. I'll pick them up in town today.
Yeah, I think we should make actual clear for our listeners that we're actually wearing a Celtic and a Rangers jersey.
Yeah, I'm holding on to the fact that they still like me.
Why did you decide for us to do this again?
Well, just obviously with the week that's in it, and I thought it would be a good opportunity with the Cup final, the league final being at Celtic Park this weekend, for us to celebrate our cultural and religious differences. I did float the idea of me wearing Celtic and you wearing Rangers.
Okay. Yeah, because I did feel like wearing this, I would kind of look like a Leinster fan for the week that's in it, right? But then he suggested, well, why don't you wear like an orange sash and I'll dress up as the Pope. And I was like, no, we'll stick with the red or the Celtic jersey.
So when I picked these up today, that one fitted perfectly. And this one's kind of a bit baggy and ugly. And... I would have completely overthrown my Protestant upbringing just to wear a nicer fitted jersey.
Hold on. Your microphone is allergic to that jersey.
So, today was a unique experience for me. I went into the Celtic shop, got a Celtic jersey, and I didn't know where the Rangers shop was in town. And I asked the person working at the Celtic shop for directions to the Rangers shop. He says, no one's ever asked that before.
To be fair to Leo Cullen, I think he wasn't really saying what people thought he said when he said that about the Rangers fans, mostly Glasgow fans. But I think he was more concerned about the lack of people that potentially wouldn't fly for Leinster at the weekend. Trimby suggested it might be because the Spice Girls concert is on in Croke Park on Friday night. Most of them might be at that.
Yeah, in the Venn diagram of Leinster supporters and Spice Girls supporters, I think there's a massive crossover. Any Spice Girls fans in the house tonight? I got a bigger cheer than us. You know, I did a little bit of research there into the Spice Girls, and they've kind of sold out a little bit. They've got old. They're having this reunion. They've become kind of sticklers for the rules. So at Croke Park this weekend, there are to be no umbrellas, no alcohol, no selfie sticks, no flares. The dangerous type or the ones that you wear? No glasses.
No Ric Flares.
No glasses, no cans, and no garden furniture. So if there's any Leinster supporters, we're going to go to the Spice Girls and bring some garden furniture. You may as well make your way to Celtic Park.
They've
they've also said that they're inviting Theresa May to their London gig, which further proves how uncool they are, unless they bring her out on stage and get her to do that little dance thing that she that she was doing.
Yeah, they used to hang out with Robbie Williams, and they're hanging out with Theresa May. That'll be us. If this season, if this dies a death, then we're going to have a reunion in 20 years' time, and we're going to invite Neil Francis. He's our Theresa May. Only not as cool.
Rugby news this week. George Schmidt retired at the tender age of 98 years young. 111 tests for Australia, 164 Super League games, 3 World Cups. He could have gotten a lot more caps, but he went off fighting for the Allies in World War II at the time. So
now he's a veteran of 3 World Cups and 2 World Wars.
To be fair, serious achievement for him. Massive fan.
Yeah, I think you've got a little bit of a George Smith vibe about you. You've got that kind of alternative thing going. You've got the nose piercing. And George Smith talked there during the week about his first day arriving at training, wearing flip-flops, board shorts, the dreadlocks, and he's kind of got that alternative vibe. He's got a little bit of a Baz vibe, only he's like way more successful and physical. You just imagine him fighting in World War II, going over the top, like tripping on his flip-flops.
I'd have been just in the trenches, just with his twisted ankle.
Save me, George.
Save me, George. In other news, Connacht have announced. Any Connacht fans in the house? Unreal. Welcome. Connacht have announced a €30 million redevelopment of the sports ground, finally, which is incredible. So the way these teams kind of play on parts of their stadiums that might bring them a little bit of an advantage, like Glasgow, for instance, with their 4G pitch, makes it a lot faster for them to play on. I reckon with the sports ground, Connacht could get one of the roofs that you can close over, and on just like a rare day when it's not raining in Galway, they could close the roof and have like invest maybe €10 million of that into a big giant hailstone machine and a wind machine that causes like 40 miles an hour winds that blow straight across into your face, and it's only pointing in the direction of the opposition team as well.
The IRFU are like, yeah, we sorted Con out with 30 million there. They're like, they spent it on hailstones and wind. That's why it took so long. So Connacht supporters, wait, what year is it in Galway these days?
In 42.
In other news this week, what do you call the Formula One driver?
You've no idea how excited he was about that joke, like. He told me that 20 times, and then he went through that part where he doubted himself. No, it's too soon. But
I was like, trying to get into character. I was like, what do you call the Formula One? And it was painful. And Baz was like, it'll be great out there.
It was.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's the Rangers thing, isn't it, still? Anyway, listen, thanks so much for coming along. This has been a very enjoyable 7 months. We've just been sitting down every Monday morning, talking complete rubbish, and you clowns are still loving it. So we started off at the Guinness Brewery. We had 70 people in November, the week Ireland beat the All Blacks, famously, for the second time. Then we went to Belfast for the Empire, and we filled that, 200 people. That was all my friends and family, really. And now we're here at what's this place called? Carnegie Hall. We got 400 people in Carnegie Hall, so it's been brilliant. Thanks so much for being there. I was chatting to Joe Malloy, actually, of all people, a competitor of ours. And he says, if they're still listening, they must love it. So thank you so much for being very, very supportive. It feels like we're a soap, like EastEnders or something. Like, nothing ever really happens. But we just turn up and keep talking.
Just two characters, just the two of us. What a shit soap. Oh, there is.
Just the two characters, yeah. Yeah.
And the odd bit of controversy when one of us is sleeping with Pat. Dun, dun, dun.
That's Pat Butcher.
Are you sleeping with Pat?
Yeah, I'm sleeping with Pat. Are you sleeping with Pat?
I'm sleeping with Pat.
We're both sleeping with Pat.
Dum, 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 dum.
Yeah, we need to work on our episode endings. But yeah, they need to definitely involve both of us sleeping with him. Yeah, he loves it.
Making love.
Tonight, though. We're down the pecking order. He'd rather sleep with Levy, surely.
He loves Levy, doesn't he? He absolutely loves Levy.
He's so close.
Yeah, well, look, we won't delay anymore.
He's so nearby.
On tonight's show, we are looking ahead to the Guinness Pro 14 final between Leinster and Glasgow Warriors at Celtic Park this weekend. We'll be joined by three lovely people that all play for Leinster and Ireland, Dan Levy, Fergus McFadden, and Megan Williams. We have a very special prize to give away later in the show, so to be included, I want you all to tweet a picture during the show and include the hashtag House of Rugby Live. Pat will select the best before the end of the show, and any questions for us or our guests too, just fire away.
Okay, so right, let's get to it. First of all, joining us on stage is Dan Levy. At the age of 23, he won a Guinness Pro 14 title, Champions Cup, and was a Grand Slam winner. He's been spoiled rotten so far in his career by himself. Will Greenwood compared him to Richard Hill and called him an Irish rugby invincible. Well, he's got a knee brace on tonight and he's looking... he's looking...
What's the opposite of invincible?
Looking pretty invincible. Anyway, Dan Levy, please join us.
We had to... thanks, man.
Get the drinks in, man.
Dan, it's great to have you. Look, you're making Pat blush.
Hey Dan. Having a good time so far?
Yeah. Trimby got a shot in while I was backstage there, so 1-0.
1-0.
Dan actually thought this was a Shakhtar or a Hearts jersey.
I thought it was Hearts. I think Celtic are playing Hearts in the final of... some football. I don't know. The same day as the Pro 14 final, though, so there's a bit of. I think they'll be down a few neutrals anyway at the ground. So I thought that was some kind of joke there, but I'm wrong.
It was a worse joke than that. I wish it was that joke.
I know. That stinker was good, though, for me, because I was like, okay. The bar is low here, so I can. It's only going up for me.
Don't you worry. You can say what you want. So it's birthday week then.
Birthday tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep. Any plans?
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you. I've survived till I was 25. Gone out for a birthday meal, chill out with the family, you know, the usual. 25, getting on now. It's pretty. it's not a great day. It's not a great day.
Are you a fan of the show?
You could be going for another 70 years if you're like George Smith, man. You'd be grand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You'll have enough.
It won't.
And are you familiar with Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby?
I haven't watched it.
Good honesty.
Most people just totally bullshit us and are like, yeah, we're a fan of the show. But
yeah, what about EastEnders? Do you watch EastEnders?
No.
No, they're on at the same time, so I thought you'd be one of the other.
It's one of the other.
You feel like a new character that's been added to EastEnders, our EastEnders team soap opera here. So.
Have you ever slept with Pat?
Who? I don't know. Yeah, no, I haven't. No.
just to clear it up, yeah, we haven't, yes.
His heart is breaking over there.
I'm happily married. I'm a happily married man.
Well, come here. Tell us, I suppose, the elephant in the room. How's the knee injury? I know this is probably the most annoying thing for you to hear, and it's hard to talk about, but the reality of it is it was a serious injury. And could you actually talk us through the extent of it? Because it was, one of the worst knee injuries you could get.
So just happened towards the end of the Ulster game. Not sure who it was. I'm not gonna sling mud. But anyway, someone went off their feet. I was caught in kind of a poaching position and got hit, and my knee basically dislocated backwards. So I knew straight away, serious alarm bells. I've had a few knee injuries before. I actually played against Ulster in a preseason game about 3 or 4 years ago, and I got rolled out of a ruck by big Nick Williams, and I had a bit of a dislocation as well that time. So you know straight away, but that time it popped back in. This time I was it was out straight away, and it wasn't back in, so I was giving it a rattle myself to see if I could pop back in. I was thinking it probably isn't the best idea in hindsight. But let the physios come on. They popped it back in on the field. I had two of those pipes, and it was sweet sailing then for the rest of the evening.
Yeah. I'm grand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really funny. Kind of funny. So in the change room afterwards, I remember actually it was the next day, so I was up in my house, and I live with Roy O'Loughlin, and a few of the guys popped over just to say hello. Had unbelievable support afterwards, just from friends and family, players, everyone calling over, sending their wishes and stuff. But the guys came over and said, we were chatting away, and it's very quickly kind of blown out. You kind of move on quickly. I don't want to dwell on it. So we're chatting away, and the lad said, "You were so funny yesterday in the changing room." I was like, I wasn't in the changing room. And they're like, they were going on, and I was saying, I said to them, I got nothing off the pipes, as in, I didn't get any relief or anything. And they were kind of looking at me like, is he for real here? And they proceeded to tell me I'd been in the change room for about 20 minutes talking to all the lads, and I have no recollection.
No way.
So I basically got wheeled in, and they said I looked like some kind of alien. Why does a ghost... just waving, smiling to everyone. Getting wheeled in, had no recollection. And then I went off, and all the lads were kind of coming up to me. This is hearsay now. I can't remember this. But I had Leo come up to me, and I do remember. I remember this little, when you kind of think back, you can get a little... I said to Leo, "This is as good as it gets," and gave him a hug. And what is going on there? I saw him the next time I saw Leo again, because the lads told me this is as good as it gets. I gave him another hug, and he thought it was funny that time, and I tried to give him a hug there a couple of days ago, and he was like, "This is stopping." So,
Well, and
I've lost your question there.
What was the extent of the injury then?
Oh, sorry, yeah. What was the extent of the injury?
Much prefer you talk about hugging Leo Cullen, though.
Yeah, sorry. So I did the ACL and the PCL. So I was in for surgery. I got it done over in London. So I spent a week in hospital after the surgery. I was going absolutely crazy by the end of it. And then, so it's just straight and narrow now. I've got back into rehab in the last week or so. And, I'm off the crutches now. I'm starting to move a lot better. So it's definitely moving in the right direction, which is good.
Have you a date in mind to get back?
It'll be the guts of a year,
Nice.
It's one of those ones, if I had something to rush back for, if the World Cup was at the end of next year, I'd try to get back as quick as I can, but I'm missing that. And that was my big kind of, goal. So I'm going to give all the time it needs, make sure my body's right, and we'll go from there. Really.
I heard you. Sorry, Trevor. Mad to get in, aren't you? All right. I read an article that you did, and you spoke about injuries before.
Is that?
It's yours now, man.
Well, if it was. Sorry.
New phone. No worries. You spoke about injuries before, and you said something along the lines of, "When you come back, you have to just be ready when the opportunity knocks." And I found when I was injured, which was most of my career, unfortunately, a lot of doubt would seep in after a while. When you come back, especially being out for a long time, like a year, and you start kind of going, "Geez, do I know how to play this game anymore?" And eventually, you get more experience to realize that you're just as good. But I thought that was very interesting that you seem to have cracked that already. That psychological part of it.
Yeah. I've been like pretty confident player all my life. I find it's really easy for people to take it the wrong way and think you're like a bit arrogant. I've heard people say that about me before, but you know, like I don't think it's a bad thing to be confident in your ability. I think if you want to be a top player, you have to be. You don't have to be vocal about it. And like I'm not really, but you know, if I've given a shot to go play a big game and I'm just back from injury, I'm not gonna, you know, beat around the bush and like pretend I'm nervous when like I just want to get into it. So that's just the type of player I am. That's the type of person I am. Just want to get stuck in as quick as possible. So
Josh Van der Vlier is another good example of that. Yeah. Come straight back from injury and man of the match. Mm. It seems like a lot of you young fellas just seem to, I don't know, maybe it's just a bit of a Leinster thing where you just pick up on the confidence that the guys a few years older than you, you're kind of absorbing that environment and that culture.
I think, you know, like I think the Leinster team, Irish team, is so competitive at the moment. Like all the teams across Ireland are so competitive. If you're a young player and you get an opportunity to play, and you get one shot, and it might be because somebody pulls out in a warm up, or you know, whatever happens, you really gotta take your shot and put your hand up. There's no like, you know. Like if you get a shot to go play for Ireland, you know, like the worst thing you can hear is someone saying, "Oh, you're young, you'll grow into the role." You want it now, and you want to play straight away. So, I think you know, it's not uncommon now for younger players to really kick on through. You look at your James Ryans and Jordan Larmour, so you literally get one sniff and they're in, and they're knocking on the door every week now for the big games. So, I think maybe the games evolved a little bit, and these young players have a bit of there's a pathway you can do it. So I think for the young lads coming through, it's definitely something that they aspire to.
This time last year was obviously an unbelievable season for you. Come straight in. Am I right in saying you've never lost an international game?
Yeah.
That was a bit arrogant the way you answered that.
let me think.
Obviously, last year was unbelievable. You kind of stepped up and you led the way. Grand Slam, Test Series in Australia, created a bit of history. Does that? Are you kind of spoiled now, or does that just give you a little bit more hunger to push on and achieve more?
It's not something to really dwell on. Sure, you'd probably know.
I don't know any of that.
Fair. sorry, what was the question again? You throw me at that massive.
It was something long-winded. It was something along the lines of how successful last season was for you and what that means to you now, pushing on.
It's pretty hard to emulate a season like last. You know, but like that's where the bar is kind of set now. So, you know, for me, it's really tough. Obviously, with the loss against the Saracens, not being able to be a part of that and, you know, hopefully, you know, in my mind, I'd like to think I'd made some sort of difference in that, whether that's, you know, that would have happened or not. But it's tough to watch the guys last or two weekends ago, even against Munster, and this coming week, you know, having done last year, done Grand Slam into a double, and then got down to Oz and win down there as well, it's like, it doesn't get any better. So the bar is like really high, and then for me to flip it this year and not play a role in the Six Nations and then get injured and like going to miss the World Cup, it's pretty tough. It's a tough pill to take, to swallow. You know, that's just where the bar is now. I'd prefer to be like that than kind of be looking forward to make a semi and get knocked out or something. But
Two one.
I'm a Rangers supporter, not an Ulster supporter. they're doing worse, actually. What about last year or a year before? It would have been. I have memories of you, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think you were 24th man with Ireland, and there was a team meeting. And did you have your headphones on? And Joe gave off to you.
Yeah, were you playing?
Yeah. I would have been one of my last chances.
Okay.
I can't remember how it went. Obviously not that well.
Is that the French game?
If it was the French game, that was my last.
Yeah, it was a French game. I actually, I was 24th man, so it's kind of a weird headspace to be in. You want to be clued in, but...
I've done it plenty of times. It's a tough week.
I'm not explaining to you. I'm explaining to you. So you want to be, you have to know everything off. You know, you need to know all your detail inside out and be ready to play. But at the same time, like, you know, there's no point in getting unbelievably like fired up for a game that there's like pretty high possibility you're not going to be involved in at all. But anyway, I was early down to the team room, got strapped. It was actually the first into the team room, waiting for everyone to come, and I had my earphones in and. I was just literally sitting in the corner and everyone started to come in, and we were still a bit early, like we were about 5 minutes early, but I was watching some video of Odell Beckham dressing up as a taxi driver and asking people what they think of Odell Beckham, and somebody sat down, I think it was Tig, sat down beside me, and he'd be the type of person to throw you down the well as well. And he literally sat down beside me and didn't say a word when the meeting started, so I just had my earphones in, I was just looking at this video. And then Joe just like screamed at me and said, "You need to switch on," or something like that. And I was going, like, "Thanks, Tyke."
Yeah. Did you explain to him, "I'm watching Odell Beckham"? I'll be with you in a minute, Joe.
No.
Like to have heard that explanation. Any explanation, I think we were all kind of, whenever that happens, everybody kind of kind of giggles, but it's like a feared up giggle, where like anybody can make that mistake, that could be any of us on the receiving end. But then, I mean, fast forward a year and you were leading the way, winning Grand Slams, winning Test Series. Maybe that was it, maybe that was the spark.
Probably not.
It's an unusual spark. What about your mate, James Ryan? Obviously, you and him came through the same time, same age? No, he's younger.
No, he's 2 or 3 years younger.
Went to school together, though? Did you play senior cup together?
No, I was in sixth year, he was in third year.
Yeah. So Michaels have been leading the way.
Yeah.
And you've been a part of that. It seems like Michaels have just been filling the Leinster Academy, filling the Leinster team. And once the Leinster team's saturated, then let's find somewhere else. Let's find another province for these guys. It's unbelievable reflection on the school, is it not?
Yeah, what's the level of professionalism within the school and the rugby setup?
Yeah, it's very high. They've brilliant coaches. You know, they train almost like professionals these days. They have weights before school and, you know, they almost do more training than us potentially. It probably wouldn't be the same quality, but you know, the coaches there are really, really good as well. It's, you know, like they're kind of coming into an academy setup where they've almost trained at that for a year or two before they join, so they have a big leg up, and you know, the guys that have come out of school are bigger and stronger and faster and, you know, more tactically aware and stuff every year. So you see lads like Scott Penny coming straight out of school and coming into Leinster doing a great job. You know, Jack Dunn, all these really good players coming through. So, yeah, you know, credit to the school and the coaching and the system they have there.
And for you now, what kind of 6 months are you, like, what, who in Leinster looks after you? What's the stepping stones there? Is it physio? Is it, do these psychologists to look after it? Is there strength and conditioning? Can you talk us through a little bit of that?
It's pretty much everything you just alluded to there. I'll be working, doing a serious amount with the physio. Yeah. The care that you get in Leinster is like top notch. It's, you know, it's world class. So I'm pretty spoilt in that regard. The attention to detail and everything and stuff is brilliant. So I'm pretty spoilt. And then, it's a long track. So, keeping mentally fresh and stuff is a big thing. So I'm not sure down the line if I'll get into a few different environments and try and get to learn from, I'm not sure whether it's NFL or, you know, wherever, try and get into a few different teams and kind of have a look at them and see if I can bring back anything to Leinster or whatever.
Travel over, yeah? Is that something that they look into, really?
It's such a long stint for rehab, you know. I'd say I'd go, you know, bananas if I was in Leinster for a year rehabbing the same team in the same building, the same environment. So I think the plan is to break it up in some capacity and get away to wherever it's Australia or US or wherever and try to pick up a few things there and rehab off-site and stuff as well.
That's class. I found when I was injured, it was a lot of the time you're forced to watch training sometimes, and it can be counterproductive for players to just sit there and watch. So allowing them to go off and do a reconnaissance mission for a squad or for, I suppose, injured players in general, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe take us with you and then we can do a podcast.
Talk to Leo.
Give him another hug.
That'll work.
Listen, Dan, it's been great having you on. You've been an absolute open book. Thanks for coming on, Dan.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Get him on the show.
I think Pat's been taking some of Dan Levy's pipe. And we'll never know if I meant that or not. Dan Levy's been sleeping with Pat. So it's been an hour and we haven't spoken about Game of Thrones, which is quite weird for us. No spoilers. Oh, block your ears. It's, Jesus.
It's Wednesday. I'm sorry. We'll be spoiling. We'll be spoiling with a new episode ending, a new soapy EastEnders-y episode ending.
Yeah, we thought it could have dragged out for like Home and Away, where it's just on every day forever. And like the dragon comes back and she rides past. That's what we've been doing backstage.
Pat, you're pregnant with the dragon's baby.
All right, to talk more Game of Thrones, we are going to look ahead to this Saturday's Guinness Pro 14 final at Celtic Park between Leinster and Glasgow. And to do so, I want you to welcome two players that have done Leinster and Ireland proud over the course of their careers. First up, it's a man with 178 Leinster appearances, 34 Ireland caps,
2 Six Nations titles, has been a part of 4 European Cup winning campaigns, and has a few League Winners Medals titles too. It's Fergus McFadden. Dear Fergus McFadden. And joining Ferg on the couch is a player who made her first breakthrough with Ireland's sevens team and has since gone on to help Leinster to Interpro Cup success and play for Ireland in the Six Nations. Please give it up for Megan Williams. Hang up. And of course, Dan Levy is back to break the deadlock in case the other two can't give us any Game of Thrones info, which I think is actually a fact. So Dan Levy, ladies and gentlemen.
There's definitely a moment there whenever I thought Levy's not coming out. Definitely thought Levy had gone home there for a second. And it would just be us talking about Game of Thrones. Yeah. And these ones listening. Neither of you watch Game of Thrones? Ferg, one season?
I'm on the last season now, episode 4.
Oh, you're flying
so
then.
So please don't ruin it for me. Please don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Dan, you were disappointed, to say the least, without spoiling anything.
I am, yeah, but am I allowed to talk about this? We can go ahead.
Overruled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Earmuffs, Megan and...
Emma.
Sorry,
Emma.
Sorry, Emma.
We'll just cover our ears, Emma. Yeah.
Sorry, Emma. Brand's king in the end.
Oh, okay.
Good spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's toy with them.
No, that's pretty spot on, yeah. You could have gone with something more predictable. You really wanted to ruin.
Yeah.
That's the one bit no one mentioned, no one saw that coming. Proud of yourself.
She seems happy, I thought.
Yeah, it is. Oh, grand. Okay.
Yeah, the earmuffs on.
Everybody gets in, yeah. Just the temperature goes up.
Yeah. Good, Emma.
Brand's king. Just to clarify, Bran is the king.
We've got a game this weekend. We've got to get to it, and these two have got to get out in the lash. Megan, are you going to join them?
Who's playing again this weekend? That was a joke.
There's a big game this weekend. Yeah. Is there no ladies rugby, no?
There's no ladies rugby, no.
Ferg, before we go talk about the weekend.
Break that up.
Hyperventilating. 2007, you came in as a young lad into Leinster, wet behind the ears, I suppose. How much has changed for you in that 12 years since then?
Yeah, geez, a lot. In a weird way, obviously there's different groups every season, so you come across different staff, different players. I mean, for me, the biggest thing is the game has changed so much in that time in terms of, obviously, lots of rules have changed, but the quality of the games as well. I remember my first game against Ulster actually was 2008, and Trimby was playing in the game. And it just, like, I've looked back sometimes at clips of that match, and it's not quite in black and white, but it feels like the standard should be. You know, it's so much different now. The standard of defences, the standard of attacks. You saw a Sarri's Leinster final. It's just so good. That's probably been the biggest change. I mean, the characters, you would know as well, Barry, the characters in changing rooms. You always come across great ones. And, you know, it's been great for me to have gone in, at say, 2007 or 20 or 19 and see the characters at that stage. And they've changed to the point of the likes of Dan, James Ryan, Luke McGrath, these younger guys. The banter is different, but it's still just as good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, it's been cool to be to go through the kind of evolution of definitely Leinster's, you know, rugby over the past 12 years and go through with, you know, a group that was successful at that time and then a bit of a barren patch and now this younger crew that I'm kind of clinging on to as an old guy trying to, like, you know, get the odd game, be like, I play too. You know, and to see them come through, the likes of Dan and stuff came through initially, they weren't getting that many opportunities under Matt O'Connor. And then they started getting these opportunities from Leo and Stuart, and they just kicked on and they've just brought the club to a whole new level. So it's just been great to be a part of that, I suppose.
And the two of you went to World Cup together, I think, was it? Or a couple of World Cups have you been to?
I was saying to Baz earlier on, that's one of my, whenever I think of you, Ferg, I think of the World Cup 2011. Again, I know you're a big man for off the pitch, and I think that applied to both of us because we didn't play much rugby, but we had a hell of a World Cup.
We had a great World Cup,
didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was.
We were man of the matches off the pitch a lot of the time.
It was that summer when we were at Carton House, and I got golfer's elbow because I played so much golf. Played zero rugby.
Yeah.
And
I'll never forget that game of golf we played in Queenstown against Paul O'Connell. And was it Johnny?
I couldn't remember. I was just saying about.
It was Johnny Sexton and Paul O'Connell. So in Queenstown, there's this private golf course you could only, you know, play on if you get invited to by this. I think it was a fashion designer or something, or he owned a clothes shop. A really rich guy from New Zealand. Anyway, he invited the Irish rugby team to have a day out there to play golf. And it was a really tight game, and Johnny and Paul are good golfers, and to be fair to Trimby, when he wants to be, he is good as well. So the game was tight, and I think they were one up going down 18, wasn't it? It was all square, actually. It was all square. And we found our ball, and it had the worst lie of all time. Shocking. But we're playing, you know, every second shot. So I think I hit the drive, and Trimby just hit our team's second shot. And the lads weren't looking at the time, and we were like, "Here, we can't lose to these lads. Like, they're never gonna let it go." So we teed it. We actually put it on a tee, the most beautiful lie ever. And Trimby smashes this four iron within 10 feet, and we beat the lads. And O'Connell was like sick for days. The worst loser of all time.
Yeah. Because O'Connell and Johnny, they're probably two of the best golfers in the squad. And two of the most serious guys.
Two of the worst losers.
Yeah, they were up for it. There was never a sweeter win. Yeah, it still tasted sweet. Ireland beat Australia then 2 weeks later, and still that didn't taste as sweet. Megan, what's this? You had a... This isn't the first time you met Pat.
No, I've met him a few times. I used to actually do a lot of blogs for Sports Show around the Rugby Sevens when I was part of the team then.
But I'm talking about the time he tap-tackled you.
To the ground.
In a car park.
In a car park. I think it was actually a week before I was supposed to go to China.
That happened, yeah.
A really big competition. And we were doing blog posts, and it was, you know, tips with Megan Williams to be a rugby player, whatever it was. And we were doing a video outside, and then all the staff members was watching as well. And I was like, oh God, Megan, everyone is watching now. I have to put on a show and do a good sidestep because it's going to be filmed. And he was standing there. He was supposed to be the defender. And I went for it, full pelt. And he just completely put his foot out, tap tackled me. And I went flying. I had grazes all up my knees and my legs. My coaches were like, Megan, what has happened to you? And I was like, wait till you see on Sports Day. Oh, yeah. You were like, please don't tell your coaches.
She had...
That's a solid part, you know?
It was instinct kicked in, and I just couldn't... she embarrassed me once or twice. I was like, I'm not having this again.
Yeah. I actually haven't gone back to Sports Day since then. It cost a lot of money to get me here tonight.
Megan, you had an unusual route to becoming a Leinster and Ireland player. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm from the UK. My dad's Irish and my grandparents were Irish.
Are you a Rangers supporter?
And I don't know who the Rangers are.
Sorry. Yay!
I don't know why I keep bringing this up. Sorry, Megan, go on.
So I originally used to play for the London Irish Exiles, And it was about 6 years ago, I was scouted by the Irish coach at the time, and they asked me to come over to play on like a trial basis. And at the time I was working abroad and I was kind of being a holiday rep, but like a good one, like.
Is they the ones that like drag you off the streets to go on the piss in the public?
No, yeah, no.
Shards, like... jello shards.
So like it was a real big transition for me. So I got the opportunity to come play, and then I got offered a full-time scholarship. I was one of the first Irish women ladies to be offered a full-time contract to play sevens. So I was really lucky that we were kind of, our goal was to go towards the Olympics. Unfortunately, we didn't qualify for that year, but I had the best 4.5 years with them playing professionally, and it was brilliant. In the last two seasons, I've been playing for the 15 squads for the Six Nations.
Unreal. What?
Thanks.
Outside of rugby, then, you're a personal trainer as well?
So outside of rugby, yeah, I own, I started my company called Move Energize Glow about 2.5 years ago. So I run like health and fitness retreats and classes and pop-up events. Outside of that as well, I'm also a PE teacher. So I work at a school, and my main job is at the moment is to work as the fitness and activities coordinator in Ballyferma. I run activities for the kids in the area to kind of build the community and get more girls actively involved in sports and fitness. A lot of claps tonight. So yeah, like super passionate about it. Like my main role now as well, like aside of playing, like I'm really into getting more girls involved in sports, because there's a massive dropout when they get to about 12, 13, especially in rugby. So it's really, that's what I'm playing.
Fair play. You're busy, so.
Busy, yeah. So make sure you write that down. Move, energize, glow.
No, this is no word of a lie. We were backstage before. So when Dan went off, and with the three of us were backstage before we came back out, she genuinely tried to sell us stuff from the that actually happened.
What was it?
No, yeah.
It actually,
yeah. I always thought it was.
She was saying use her discount code. She gets a commission off it, and she was trying to actually make us take out her phone.
No, because he's sick, he has a cold at the moment, so I was just giving him some advice about some multivitamins that he could purchase.
Work. Yeah. Always on the job.
Huh? Yeah.
So you're helping him out, but you're making a bit of coin. More importantly, you're trying to run a business.
No, not at all.
Do you ever see, a professional women's team in Ireland?
Will I see one?
Yeah. Do you think it's something like, is it a pipe dream, or is it something, because obviously the English girls have gone professional, and will we always be playing catch up?
Yeah, it's really difficult because I just played in the last Six Nations, and we did my first game back after injury was playing against England, and as you know, the scoreboard, we got beaten really badly, unfortunately, and my confidence definitely took a massive knock, because the difference between us as an amateur team and to England as a professional side who've been playing together the last year professionally was so big. The gap's still so big in women's squad. So I'd love to see the gap to close over the next few months, but I think we are going to still be playing catch up with the likes of England, New Zealand, Australia, who are going professional. But saying that, the talent and the players that we have at such a young age in Ireland for girls rugby as well is absolutely phenomenal. So it's great to see that there's girls who, like myself, are in the older side of the squad, who's going into schools, going into teams to develop them and encourage them to play for their clubs and play and show them there is a dream to go play for Ireland, because like it's definitely not out of their reach for us to go professional. For me, coming from sevens as well, was a great opportunity that was professional and I was being paid to play. And the girls who are in the setup at the moment are progressing really, really well. And it was only recently in the last tournament in Canada that they came fourth in the world out of 14 teams, which is absolutely amazing. Like,
yeah.
So it's definitely in Ireland's reach to go professional. So it's just the backing of everyone behind us would be great, you know?
Yeah, no, fair play. I think what I love about the women's provincial teams in Ireland is the Interprovincial Cup and the emphasis that they put on that. And there's been a lot of talk about potentially doing that with the men's provinces, that to make it something a little bit more to play for. Ferg, have you noticed that drop off? I know it's thrown around a lot that there's not even that players aren't up for it, but there's a little bit less of an emphasis put on the big interprovincial games, like the one we had a few weeks ago, where Munster played Connacht and Leinster played Ulster in the second last game of the Pro 14. It was a little bit undercooked or whatever you want.
Yeah, well, I think the teams that were out weren't full sides, but like the both sets of players were massively up for it. I think around a year, I think it was a year ago or a year or two ago, I think there was a couple of pundits, I won't mention their names, were implying that there's been a drop off in, say, the rivalry between Munster and Leinster.
Mm.
But then you saw at Christmas what happened down in Thomond Park. Munster beat Leinster. Like, it was fireworks. You know, there was a lot of passion shown from the players, because it means so much when you're playing against mates on the other team, and you never want your mate to lose against your mates. Do you know what I mean? And then obviously there's the rivalry between the fans, and it's a bit of a pressure cooker environment and all the rest. And I think this year has shown, like, and you can, I disagree with, certainly from a player's perspective going into that Ulster game, that was actually a dead rubber for both teams.
Yeah.
In terms of Ulster had a home semi, Ulster had a semi, we had a home semi, and it just is that incorrect?
Semi.
Sorry. But in terms of league standings,
Munster and Connacht were the same. They'd less to play for, like, both of them had qualified.
So they were dead rubber matches, which doesn't help. But I think, I didn't actually see the Munster-Connacht match, but from the Ulster-Leinster one, it meant an awful lot. I mean, one thing that was talked about in our change room was there was a couple of players there that were leaving our setup that won't be seen again. You know, Nick McCarthy and Noel Reid, these guys who were so tight with them. Potentially their last game for the club in a Leinster jersey. We wanted to try and win the game. So it did have a lot on the line for us. So, I mean, for me, the interprovincial derbies are as good as they've ever been. My first one was in 2009, then in Thomond. I think we beat you for the first time in a long time. And it's never changed for me playing in them. It's always been, I mean, we played against each other in them, and you never held back anyway. Trimby's gas. Like, I remember, like, in camp when I first met Trimby, I'd be like, this guy is such a gent. Like, he's, you know, walking around, everyone loves him, placid guy. He's got this Bible under his arm at rosary beads.
That's kind.
Then you get in the pitch, and he's this monster. He, like, turns into this monster who's, like, pulling at you and dragging at you, trying to trip you up and screaming at you. Like,
we always had, it was either with you or with Johnny. We always had these scuffles, like, if you ever, like, collided, even if a ball's gone, it's like we're always so proud that I want to get the last, I want to be up first, yeah, and him to be last, and, like, just push it. It's so childish. But still, I could never leave it, and I always got the impression you can never leave it either.
No. But I loved it, though, to be honest.
Who do you scuffle with now?
I suppose the closest thing...
Colin,
get him out, please. He's really intoxicated, genuinely. I don't really scuffle with anyone in particular. I can think off the top of my head.
That's fine. I think you ruined that a little bit there.
No.
Yeah, the Interpros, like that one in Belfast, you get the opportunity to, not that one specifically, I suppose, but the likes of Keelan Doris or Scott Penny or Marcus Ray came through in that game, man of the match. You know, I think the Interpro games are starting to become a little bit less of maybe the commercial spectacle for someone who's not as into rugby, but it's more of a purist. Yeah. If you like these young fellas coming through, seeing guys progress, whereas maybe the guys in the corporate box are the guys you want to see, Sexton versus Best.
Yeah, true.
You know? But like that game at Kingspan, I thought was, again, a lot of names you wouldn't be used to. but the intensity was through the roof, I thought.
Yeah, like I thought there wasn't a drop-off in the atmosphere from the crowd when I've previously been to Ravenhill and to Kingspan. You know, I think that the crowd was so into it, and there was actually almost a full house. So you can say what you want about the two teams that were put out, but in terms of the atmosphere and the effort put in from the players, I think, you know, I think the rivalries run deep from all four provinces, and in my opinion, when we play them these days, it's right up there from where it was.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to the weekend then, Dan, what do you think Leinster can expect from Glasgow? Who have they got to be on their toes to watch?
Glasgow obviously had a very convincing win over Ulster. They're playing a serious attack. Now they've got like some serious ball players. Your man Hastings at 10, and then Stuart Hogg, and you know they're a seriously attack-minded team. I think they kind of beat Ulster up a little bit, and when Ulster played Leinster and Aviva, which is pretty apparent to me before I got dusted, was, you know, the intensity that they brought, and you know their physicality was incredible. It's probably a notch above where they'd played for most of the rest of the season, but you know if they showed up like that and played Glasgow like that, I think it would have been a completely different story. So it's going to come down to who wins that kind of physical battle, as it usually always does in rugby. But I think if Leinster can stop that momentum game that Glasgow have, I think they will force offloads, and they will try maybe play at a fanatic enough pace, and you know, sometimes that can be brilliant, and sometimes that can, you know, you can get incredible scores from it, but it also can be costly and put you in compromising positions.
You'd be travelling over to, you said, for the day on Saturday?
Saturday Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. You would as well, Dan, wouldn't you? What are you doing?
Thanks for bringing that up.
He's going to the NFL, to be fair.
Yeah.
I'll see you from Atlanta.
Do you travel home that night then, and is it a...
Yeah, we will. We'll go over that morning and back that night, so yeah. Exactly kind of what we did in Newcastle. So the players will leave tomorrow that are playing in the match with the staff, and then we all travel back together on the Saturday. So, as from the guy's perspective that aren't playing, like me and others... like you're just trying to prepare the team as best as possible, really, you know, as the opposition, so as Glasgow during the week. And it's kind of a funny end to the season because like half the squad is actually gone for the last 2 days, and we're kind of in as the extra guys, but you know, please God we can win over there. I mean, you couldn't really tee up a better final. Glasgow in Glasgow, Leinster in Celtic Park, you know, it should be a really amazing occasion, so please God we can finish with a trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question, lads.
Jesus.
What do they have to do to shut down Hoggy there on 15? What do you think? Next again.
This is your new co-host for next season.
Good question.
His name is Barney.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
Need to get this guy, Mike. He's been asking much better questions. How would you shut him down? In my opinion, just make sure you don't kick loosely to him. You know, if you kick the ball, out of hand, make sure it's either contestable or you're kicking it off the field. If you kick it loosely to him, you know, he's one of the best broken field runners in the world. So taking that away from him, really. And, you know, he's a quality player. You know, I've no doubt he'll get his moments at the weekend, and you just hope that our defence will be good enough to shut the threats like him down, I suppose, on the day.
There certainly seems to be, for me, I've almost enjoyed the Guinness Pro 14 more this year than the Champions Cup. There's such a desire to win it now that certainly wasn't there when I was playing. And I think you're right, these finals are massive now. Like that, I'm looking forward to this game almost more than I was the Saracens one for some reason. I think maybe it's the way Glasgow played last weekend or something, but and the fact that Leinster have something really to fight for now. So yeah, I think we're going to expect an end-to-end game, I'd hope.
both sides will go out and try and win it. And then, I suppose it's holiday time for you then? Not for you, Dan. Shit. Holiday time for you, Ferg?
Yeah, it is. It's a holiday home for all the Leinster guys. And I think the guys who are going to camp are on a different holiday structure. But we'll all be off on a well-deserved break from a long year. Like, you know, at the start of the year, we set out goals about what we want to do. And if our season didn't finish it on the 25th of May, you know, obviously we want to win the trophy after. But you know, that would obviously be massively disappointing. So for the season to have gone on as long as it possibly could, that's the aim. We've gotten there, we can win a trophy, then we'll enjoy our holidays. But yeah, there'll be lads scattered off in different directions. Obviously young single guys going off for a bit of fun. I'm married with a kid, so
so you've a little Liverpool fan in the making.
Yeah, little baby boy who doesn't really have a choice at the moment, he supports. But I've thrown him in a Liverpool jersey for the meantime, so he can't change his mind for a while.
He's got something to look forward to.
Yeah, well, hope the Champions League final.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know. He's not even won.
You'll have him kitted out anyway, though.
He's like, do you not know the Champions League final is on there?
That's great.
Listen, thanks a lot for coming on, folks. Dan, Megan, Ferg, that was great. Really enjoyed that. Take it easy.
Thank you.
It's gone weird again.
Wait, before we finish up though, did anybody enter the competition that Pat outlined at the start? Oh yes, that worked, Pat.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we finish up, we're going to thanks to everyone for coming down. Thanks for tweeting and sharing hashtag shush Colin. Thanks for tweeting and sharing hashtag House of Rugby Live pictures all night. Pat has picked a winner for our big prize.
Yes, I have. just wanted to say thanks to everybody for sending photos in and tweeting and stuff like that as well. But there's a couple of things trending. Trimby's arms again. They're saying they're delighted that you found a long sleeve jersey long enough to fit your arms. And your socks were getting some grief as well.
Yeah. Oh. That's fair enough. No, the grief's fair enough.
And then there is another one. It's Game of Thrones reference as well, but it is kind of, there's a good few of them coming in tonight. It's Dan the Broken.
I like that.
Very good.
First of his name.
Very creative.
Very good.
But yeah, so the prize is, tonight will come down at the end and we'll sort you out with it. We're giving it to Niamh Fowler. She's up on the balcony there somewhere. So.
Well done, Niamh. Right. Did you have a good night?
Yeah.
Well, a massive thank you to our three guests, to Fergus McFadden, to Megan Williams, and to Dan Levy. Thanks to everyone who's involved in putting tonight's show together. Thanks to everyone at Liberty Hall for being so welcoming and for having us here tonight. Don't forget to leave your comments and questions and to subscribe if you haven't done so. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.